So John, talk about your plans to limit charges on credit cards and overdrafts.
Okay. Financial Conduct Authority has been pointing out the high levels of debt that people are incurring on their credit cards. And if you remember, we had a campaign around payday loans, and the Financial Conduct Authority introduced a system whereby they would cap the interest rates on payday loans to try and prevent people getting deeper and deeper in debt. Well, they've pointed out the same problem is occurring on credit card debt. So we're bringing forward proposals on the basis of what the FCA have been highlighting, really, where we're suggesting that you change the rules in the same way as you do on payday loans, and you cap the interest payments. Once someone has reached, well, they're paid in 100% in interest what they originally borrowed in the first place. In that way, we think we can tackle some of this issue around persistent debt.
When it comes to borrowing on overdrafts, you go over it each month, don't you? So you're borrowing several times. So it's a fresh amount of money that they're being borrowed, so it probably wouldn't go over 100% each month, would it?
Well, see, it is. That's the problem. The situation at the moment is in persistent debt now, there's about 2.3 million people, something like that, even more. But on this level, we think there's about at least nearly half a million people who are at that stage where the amount they've borrowed, they're actually paying just as much in interest charges. Once you cap that, they'll still, if they, you know, this isn't a license for people not to pay their debts off, because if they don't meet the deadlines of payments, they'll still have charges, they'll still have penalties. But this will enable them to actually have a chance of paying off that original debt.
Wouldn't banks try and raise the money elsewhere from charging people who don't go into their overdraft?
Well, again, the FCA designs the rules all the time, and they're very good at monitoring whether or not there's other mechanisms that are being used by these financial institutions. And again, I think they'll perform their role as they have done in the past in trying to control this.
The Irish Prime Minister is meeting Theresa May in Downing Street today. What do you think is the solution regarding the Irish border and Brexit?
A lot more dialogue. I don't think there's been enough dialogue at the moment. I think we've got to recognise that, you know, this is a really delicate situation. Not one thing we don't want to do is in any way endanger the peace process that's gone on for so long, and we've been, thank goodness, been successful at securing peace. And I think there has to be real flexibility listening to the Irish, what their concerns are. And on that basis, I think that we can achieve a consensus, but we can't rush at this thing. I think there's got to be a lot more listening, and up until now I think there hasn't been sufficient openness and transparency.
You and Jeremy Corbyn have both been on record as saying you support a united Ireland. Why would British voters trust you on an issue regarding the Irish border?
Well, that's been a principal thing, but we've also said all the way along that a united Ireland only has to come on the basis of a majority vote of the Irish people themselves. It has to be on the basis of democracy. So what I'm saying at the moment, you've got to listen to the Irish people themselves on this particular issue as well. I think there are issues of trust all round, and the one thing we can't do in these discussions about the Irish border is undermine the trust that we've built up so far. That's why it needs to be much more open and transparent.
The issue of the single market is obviously critical regarding the Irish border. Have you got a policy on that yet?
Position at the moment, straightforward from us. We've been arguing this all the way along. All our concerns are about tariff-free access. We've said, you know, there has to be a transition period. We've said that for a long period of time. We're glad the government has accepted that now. The government's talking about 2 years. We're saying you need to be a lot more flexible on that. It might be three, it might be four. Start listening to people again. We've sat down at the CBI, the Chamber of Commerce, you name it. We've sat down at trade unions. We've listened to communities. We've got to be more flexible about what's pragmatic and practical about this. We think we can get a relationship with the single market, which will enable us to have that tariff-free access.
Part of the single market?
Well, no, I think we have to respect the referendum. So it might be a relationship with a reform single market or alongside the existing single market, but with a negotiated settlement. And again, what we're trying to do is build consensus within our own, well, with our own party, because there are different views, but also within the community. And we think because, you know, the referendum vote was relatively narrow, the country was split, so we've got to build a compromise. It's almost like a traditional British compromise, how we take people forward.
So it sounds like you definitely think we should leave the single market.
Well, we have to respect the referendum, and I think people would expect us to leave the existing single market if there's significant reforms, because the key issue in with regard to the single market was always freedom of movement. There's views expressed in the referendum about the need to have some constraints on the freedom of movement. That can be negotiated. Now, whether that's a reform single market that we run alongside of or a different migration system, that's for discussion.
The EU have said that's a red line, haven't they? So yeah, you would have to leave the single market, effectively.
Well, we've got to respect the referendum. If there aren't changes in the single market, I think people would expect us to negotiate a situation that accepts the constraints, some constraints on freedom of movement, which would enable us then to have a relationship with the single market as it now exists. On the issues around freedom of movement, all through the referendum campaign, we were making it consistently clear that we believe there'd have to be some form of constraints to make sure that we don't have employers using migration to undercut wages. And I think what was interesting, there was an acceptance amongst a lot of our European colleagues about the need for those sort of reforms.
But there's not going to be a decision on party policy at this conference, is there? Because it's been voted that it won't be.
There'll be a policy statement in the normal way. And again, there'll be an extensive debate. Keir Starmer's leading that debate. There'll be a vote on the normal policy statement in that way. We're hoping that what we can do in this coming period is build consensus right the way across our community. And the first step on that is a recognition we need to build consensus in our own party. And I think that's what's happening. I think that's the view of the delegates at the moment.
Keir Starmer seems like he wants to stay in the single market, though, so there's a bit of a rift.
No, he's been no rift at all. We've been using exactly the same language. We're more concerned about outcomes than we are about structures, and we've consistently said that what we want to do is tariff-free access. I think there's also a range of issues now that we'll sit down with our European partners, because we think we can build an agreement that the Tories can't do because of their belligerent and, to be frank, incompetent approach they've used so far.